Chapter 9. Income Autopilot 1. Finding the Muse. Just set it and forget it. Ron Popeil, founder of Ronco, responsible for more than $1 billion in sales of rotisserie chicken roasters. As to methods, there may be a million and then some, but principles are few. The man who grasps principles can successfully select his own methods. The man who tries methods ignoring principles is sure to have trouble. Ralph Waldo Emerson. The Renaissance Minimalist. Douglas Price was waking up to another beautiful summer morning in his Brooklyn brownstone. First things first, coffee. The jet lag was minor, considering he had just returned from a 2-week jaunt through the islands of Croatia. It was just one of 6 countries he had visited in the last 12 months. Japan was next on the agenda. Buzzing with a smile and his coffee mug in hand, he ambled over to his Mac to check on personal email first. There were 32 messages, and all brought good news. One of his friends and business partners, also a co-founder of LimeWire, had an update. Last Bamboo, their startup poised to reinvent peer-to-peer technology, was rounding the final corners of development. It could be their billion-dollar baby, but Doug was letting the engineers run wild first. Samson Projects, one of the hottest contemporary art galleries in Boston, had compliments for Doug's latest work and requests for expanded involvement with new exhibits as their sound curator. The last email in his inbox was a fan letter addressed to Demon Doc and praise for his latest instrumental hip-hop album, Onlyness, version 1.01. Doug had released his album as what he termed open-source music. Anyone could download the album for free and use sounds from any track in their own compositions. He smiled again, polished off his dark roast, and opened a window to deal with business email next. It would take much less time. In fact, less than 30 minutes for the day and 2 hours for the week. How much things change. 2 years earlier, in June of 2004, I was in Doug's apartment checking email for what I hoped would be the last time for a long time. I was headed to JFK Airport in New York in a matter of hours and was preparing for an indefinite quest around the world. Doug looked on with amusement. He had similar plans for himself and was finally extricating himself from a venture-funded internet startup that had once been a cover story and his passion, but was now just a job. The euphoria of the dot-com era was long dead, along with most chances for a sale or an IPO. He bid me farewell and made a decision as the taxi pulled from the curb. Enough of the complicated stuff. It was time to return to basics. ProSoundEffects.com launched in January of 2005 after 1 week of sales testing on eBay, was designed to do one thing: give Doug lots of cash with minimal time investment. This brings us back to his business inbox in 2006. There are 10 orders for sound libraries, CDs that film producers, musicians, video game designers, and other audio professionals use to add hard-to-find sounds, whether the purr of a lemur or exotic instrument, to their own creations. These are Doug's products, but he doesn't own them, as that would require physical inventory and upfront cash. His business model is more elegant than that. Here is just one revenue stream. 1. A prospective customer sees his pay-per-click PPC advertising on Google or other search engines and clicks through to his site, www.prosoundeffects.com. 2. The prospect orders a product for $325, the average purchase price, though prices range from $29 to $7,500, on a Yahoo shopping cart, and a PDF with all their billing and shipping information is automatically emailed to Doug. 3. Three times a week, Doug presses a single button in the Yahoo management page to charge all his customers' credit cards and put cash in his bank account. Then he saves the PDFs as XL purchase orders and emails the purchase orders to the manufacturers of the CD libraries. Those companies mail the products to Doug's customers. This is called drop shipping, and Doug pays the manufacturers as little as 45% of the retail price of the products up to 90 days later, net 90 terms. Let's look at the mathematical beauty of his system for full effect. For each $325 order at his cost of 55% off retail, Doug is entitled to $178.75. If we subtract 1% of the full retail price, 1% of $325 equals $3.25 for the Yahoo store transaction fee, and 2.5% for the credit card processing fee, 2.5% of $325 equals $8.13, Doug is left with a pre-tax profit of $167.38 for this one sale. Multiply this by 10 and we have $1,673.80 in profit for 30 minutes of work. Doug is making $3,347.60 per hour and purchases no product in advance. His initial startup costs were $1,200 for the webpage design, which he recouped in the first week. His PPC advertising costs approximately $700 per month, and he pays Yahoo $99 per month for their hosting and shopping cart. He works less than 2 hours a week, often pulls more than $10,000 per month, and there is no financial risk whatsoever. Now Doug spends his time making music, traveling, and exploring new businesses for excitement. ProSoundEffects.com is not his end-all be-all, but it has removed all financial concerns and freed his mind to focus on other things. What would you do if you didn't have to think about money? If you follow the advice in this chapter, you will soon have to answer this question. It's time to find your muse. There are a million and one ways to make $1 million. From franchising to freelance consulting, the list is endless. Fortunately, most of them are unsuited to our purpose. This chapter is not for people who want to run businesses, but for those who want to own businesses and spend no time on them. The response I get when I introduce this concept is more or less universal. Huh? People can't believe that most of the ultra-successful companies in the world do not manufacture their own products, answer their own phones, ship their own products, or service their own customers. There are hundreds of companies that exist to pretend to work for someone else and handle these functions, providing rentable infrastructure to anyone who knows where to find them. Think Microsoft manufactures the Xbox 360 or that Kodak designs and distributes their digital cameras? Guess again. Flextronics, a Singapore-based engineering and manufacturing firm with locations in 30 countries and $15.3 billion in annual revenue, does both. Most popular brands of mountain bikes in the United States are all manufactured in the same 3 or 4 plants in China. Dozens of call centers press one button to answer calls for the JCPenney's of the world, another to answer calls for the Dell computers of the world, and yet another to answer calls for the new rich like me. It's all beautifully transparent and cheap. Before we create this virtual architecture, however, we need a product to sell. If you own a service business, this section will help you convert expertise into a shippable hard good to escape the limits of a per-hour-based model. If starting from scratch, ignore service businesses for now, as constant customer contact makes absence difficult. There are a few limited exceptions, such as online membership sites that don't require content generation, but as a general rule, products require much less maintenance and will get you to your TMI faster. To narrow the field further, our target product can't take more than $500 to test. It has to lend itself to automation within 4 weeks and, when up and running, it can't require more than 1 day per week of management. Can a business be used to change the world, like The Body Shop or Patagonia? Yes, but that isn't our goal here. Can a business be used to cash out through an IPO or sale? Yes, but that isn't our goal either. Our goal is simple, to create an automated vehicle for generating cash without consuming time. That's it. Muses will provide the time and financial freedom to realize your dreamlines in record time, after which one can, and often does, start additional companies to change the world or sell. I will call this vehicle a muse whenever possible to separate it from the ambiguous term business, which can refer to a lemonade stand or a Fortune 10 oil conglomerate. Our objective is more limited and thus requires a more precise label. So, first things first, cash flow and time. With these two currencies, all other things are possible. Without them, nothing is possible. Why to Begin with the End in Mind, A Cautionary Tale. Sarah is excited. It has been 2 weeks since her line of humorous t-shirts for golfers went online, and she is averaging 5 t-shirt sales per day at $15 each. Her cost per unit is $5, so she is grossing $50 in profit minus 3% in credit card fees per 24 hours, as she passes shipping and handling on to customers. She should soon recoup the cost of her initial order of 300 shirts, including plate charges, setup, etc., but wants to earn more. It's a nice reversal of fortune, considering the fate of her first product. She had spent $12,000 to develop, patent, and manufacture a high-tech stroller for new moms. She has never been a new mom, only to find that no one was interested. The t-shirts, in contrast, were actually selling, but sales were beginning to slow. It appears she has reached her online sales ceiling, as well-funded and uneducated competitors are now spending too much for advertising and driving up costs. Then it strikes her. Retail. Sarah approaches the manager of her local golf shop, Bill, who immediately expresses interest in carrying the shirts. She's thrilled. Bill asks for the customary 40% minimum discount for wholesale pricing. This means her sell price is now $9 instead of $15, and her profit has dropped from $10 to $4. Sarah decides to give it a shot and does the same with 3 other stores in surrounding towns. The shirts begin to move off the shelves, but she soon realizes that her small profit is being eaten by extra hours she spends handling invoices and additional administration. She decides to approach a distributor. Distributors are also known as wholesalers, to alleviate this labor, a company that acts as a shipping warehouse and sells products from various manufacturers to golf stores nationwide. The distributor is interested and asks for its usual pricing, 70% off retail or $4.50, which would leave Sarah 50 cents in the hole on each unit. She declines. To make matters worse, the 4 local stores have already started discounting her shirts to compete among one another and are killing their own profit margins. 2 weeks later, reorders disappear. Sarah abandons retail and returns to her website demoralized. Sales online have dropped to almost nothing with new competition. She has not recouped her initial investment, and she still has 50 shirts in her garage. Not good. It all could have been prevented with proper testing and planning. Ed, Mr. Creatine Bird, is no Sarah. He does not invest and hope for the best. His San Francisco-based company, MRI, had the top-selling sports supplement in the United States from 2002 to 2005. NO2. It is still a top seller despite dozens of imitators. He did it through smart testing, smart positioning, and brilliant distribution. Prior to manufacturing, MRI first offered a low-priced book related to the product through quarter-page advertisements in men's health magazines. Once the need had been confirmed with a mountain of book orders, NO2 was priced at an outrageous $79.95, positioned as the premium product on the market and sold exclusively through GNC stores nationwide. No one else was permitted to sell it. How can it make sense to turn away business? There are a few good reasons. First, the more competing resellers there are, the faster your product goes extinct. This was one of Sarah's mistakes. It works like this. Reseller A sells the product for your recommended advertised price of $50, then reseller B sells it for $45 to compete with A, and then C sells it for $40 to compete with A and B. In no time at all, no one is making profit from selling your product and reorders disappear. Customers are now accustomed to the lower pricing and the process is irreversible. The product is dead and you need to create a new product. This is precisely the reason why so many companies need to create new product, month after month. It's a headache. I have had one single supplement, Brain Quicken, also sold as Body Quick, for 6 years and have maintained a consistent profit margin by limiting wholesale distribution, particularly online, to the top 1 or 2 largest resellers who can move serious quantities of product and agree to maintain a minimum advertised pricing. It is illegal to control how much someone sells your product for, but you can dictate how much they advertise it for. This is done by including a minimum advertised pricing, MAP policy, in your general terms and conditions, GTC, which are agreed to automatically when a written wholesale order is placed. Sample GTC and order forms are available at www.4hourworkweek.com. Otherwise, rogue discounters on eBay and mom-and-pop independents will drive you broke. Second, if you offer someone exclusivity, which most manufacturers try to avoid, it can work in your favor. Since you are offering one company 100% of the distribution, it is possible to negotiate better profit margins, offering less of a discount off of retail price, better marketing support in-store, faster payment, and other preferential treatment. It is critical that you decide how you will sell and distribute your product before you commit to a product in the first place. The more middlemen are involved, the higher your margins must be to maintain profitability for all the links in the chain. Ed Bird realized this and exemplifies how doing the opposite of what most do can reduce risk and increase profit. Choosing distribution before product is just one example. Ed drives a Lamborghini down the California coast when not traveling or in the office with his small, focused staff and his two Australian shepherds. This outcome is not accidental. His product creation methods and those of the new rich in general can be emulated. Here's how you do it in the fewest number of steps. Step 1. Pick an affordably reachable niche market. When I was younger, I didn't want to be pigeonholed. Basically, now you want to be pigeonholed. It's your niche. Joan Chen, actress, appeared in The Last Emperor and Twin Peaks. Creating demand is hard. Filling demand is much easier. Don't create a product, then seek someone to sell it to. Find a market, define your customer, then find or develop a product for them. I have been a student and an athlete, so I developed products for those markets, focusing on the male demographic whenever possible. The audiobook I created for college guidance counselors failed because I have never been a guidance counselor. I developed the subsequent speed reading seminar after realizing that I had free access to students, and the business succeeded because, being a student myself, I understood their needs and spending habits. Be a member of your target market and don't speculate what others need or will be willing to buy. Start small, think big. Some people are just into lavish dwarf entertainment. Danny Black, 4'2", part owner of ShortDwarf.com. Danny Black rents dwarfs as entertainment for $149 per hour. How is that for a niche market? It is said that if everyone is your customer, then no one is your customer. If you start off aiming to sell a product to dog or car lovers, stop. It's expensive to advertise to such a broad market, and you are competing with too many products and too much free information. If you focus on how to train German shepherds or a restoration product for antique Fords, on the other hand, the market and competition shrink, making it less expensive to reach your customers and easier to charge premium pricing. Brain Quicken was initially designed for students, but the market proved too scattered and difficult to reach. Based on positive feedback from student athletes, I relaunched the product as Body Quick and tested advertising in magazines specific to martial artists and powerlifters. These are minuscule markets compared to the massive student market, but not small. Low media cost and lack of competition enabled me to dominate with the first neural accelerator in these niches. This was a new product category that I created and coined to eliminate and preempt the competition. Strive to be the largest, best, or first in a precise category. I prefer being first. It is more profitable to be a big fish in a small pond than a small, undefined fish in a big pond. How do you know if it's big enough to meet your TMI? For a detailed, real-life example of how I determined the market size of a recent product, see Muse Math on this book's companion site. Ask yourself the following questions to find profitable niches. 1. Which social, industry, and professional groups do you belong to, have you belonged to, or do you understand, whether dentists, engineers, rock climbers, recreational cyclists, car restoration aficionados, dancers, or other? Look creatively at your resume, work experience, physical habits, and hobbies, and compile a list of all the groups, past and present, that you can associate yourself with. Look at products and books you own. Include online and offline subscriptions and ask yourself, what groups of people purchase the same? Which magazines, websites, and newsletters do you read on a regular basis? 2. Which of the groups you identified have their own magazines? Visit a large bookstore such as Barnes & Noble and browse the magazine rack for smaller specialty magazines to brainstorm additional niches. There are literally thousands of occupation and interest, hobby-specific magazines to choose from. Use Writer's Market to identify magazine options outside the bookstores. Narrow the groups from question one above to those that are reachable through one or two small magazines. It's not important that these groups all have a lot of money, e.g. golfers, only that they spend money, amateur athletes, bass fishermen, etc., on products of some type. Call these magazines, speak to the advertising directors, and tell them that you are considering advertising. Ask them to email their current advertising rate card and include both readership numbers and magazine back issue samples. Search the back issues for repeat advertisers who sell direct to consumer via 800 numbers or websites. The more repeat advertisers and the more frequent their ads, the more profitable a magazine is for them, and will be for us. Step 2. Brainstorm. Do not invest in products. Genius is only a superior power of seeing. John Ruskin, famed art and social critic. Pick the two markets that you are most familiar with that have their own magazines with full-page advertising that costs less than $5,000. There should be no fewer than 15,000 readers. This is the fun part. Now we get to brainstorm or find products with these two markets in mind. The goal is to come up with well-formed product ideas and spend nothing. In step 3, we will create advertising for them and test responses from real customers before investing in manufacturing. There are several criteria that ensure the end product will fit into an automated architecture. The main benefit should be encapsulated in one sentence. People can dislike you, and you often sell more by offending some, but they should never misunderstand you. The main benefit of your product should be explainable in one sentence or phrase. How is it different, and why should I buy it? One sentence or phrase, folks. Apple did an excellent job of this with the iPod. Instead of using the usual industry jargon with GB, bandwidth, and so forth, they simply said, 1,000 songs in your pocket. Done deal. Keep it simple, and do not move ahead with a product until you can do this without confusing people. It should cost the customer $50 to $200. The bulk of companies set prices in the mid-range, and that is where the most competition is. Pricing low is short-sighted, because someone else is always willing to sacrifice more profit margin and drive you both bankrupt. Besides perceived value, there are three main benefits in creating a premium, high-end image and charging more than the competition. 1. Higher pricing means that we can sell fewer units and thus manage fewer customers and fulfill our dream lines. It's faster. 2. Higher pricing attracts lower maintenance customers, better credit, fewer complaints, questions, fewer returns, etc. It's less headache. This is huge. 3. Higher pricing also creates higher profit margins. It's safer. I personally aim for an 8 to 10 times markup, which means a $100 product can't cost me more than $10 to $12.50. If you decide to resell someone else's higher-end products, like Doug, especially with dropshipping, the risk is lower and smaller margins can suffice. If I had used the commonly recommended 5x markup with Brain Quicken, it would have gone bankrupt within 6 months due to a dishonest supplier and late magazine. The profit margin saved it, and within 12 months it was generating up to $80,000 per month. High has its limits, however. If the per-unit price is above a certain point, prospects need to speak to someone on the phone before they are comfortable enough to make the purchase. This is contraindicated on our low-information diet. I have found that a price range of $50 to $200 per sale provides the most profit for the least customer service hassle. Price high, and then justify. It should take no more than 3 to 4 weeks to manufacture. This is critically important for keeping costs low and adapting to sales demand without stockpiling products in advance. I will not pursue any product that takes more than 3 to 4 weeks to manufacture, and I recommend aiming for 1 to 2 weeks from order placement to shippable product. How do you know how long something takes to manufacture? Contact contract manufacturers who specialize in the type of products you're considering. http://www.thomasnet.com. Call a related manufacturer, e.g. toilet bowls, if you need a referral to a related manufacturer you cannot find, e.g. toilet cleaning solutions. Still no luck? Google different synonyms for your product in combination with organization and association to contact the appropriate industry organizations. Ask them for referrals to contract manufacturers and for the names of their trade magazines, which often contain advertisements for contract manufacturers and related service providers will need for your virtual architecture later. Request pricing from the contract manufacturers to ensure the proper markup is possible. Determine the per unit costs of production for 100, 500, 1,000, and 5,000 units. It should be fully explainable in a good online FAQ. Here is where I really screwed up in my product choice with Brain Quicken. Even though ingestibles have enabled my NR life, I would not wish them on anyone. Why not? You get 1,000 questions from every customer. Can I eat bananas with your product? Will it make me fart during dinner? On and on ad nauseum. Choose a product that you can fully explain in a good online FAQ. If not, the task of traveling and otherwise forgetting about work becomes very difficult, or you end up spending a fortune on call center operators. Understanding these criteria, a question remains. How does one obtain a good Muse product that satisfies them? There are three options we'll cover in ascending order of recommendation. Option 1. Resell a product. Purchasing an existing product at wholesale and reselling it is the easiest route, but also the least profitable. It is the fastest to set up, but the fastest to die off due to price competition with other resellers. The profitable lifespan of each product is short unless an exclusivity agreement prevents others from selling it. Reselling is, however, an excellent option for secondary, back-end products that can be sold to existing customers or cross-sold to new customers online or on the phone. Back-end products are products sold to customers once the sale of a primary product has been made. iPod covers and car GPS systems are two examples. These products can have lower margins because there is no advertising cost to acquire the customer. Cross-selling is selling a related product to a customer while they're still on the phone or in an online shopping cart after the sale of a primary product has been made. For a full marketing and direct response glossary, visit www.4hourworkweek.com. To purchase at wholesale, use these steps. 1. Contact the manufacturer and request a wholesale price list, generally 40% off retail, and terms. 2. If a business tax ID number is needed, print out the proper forms from your state's Secretary of State website and file for an LLC, which I prefer, or similar protective business structure for $100 to $200. Do not purchase product until you have completed Step 3 in the next chapter. It is enough at this point to confirm the profit margin and have product photos and sales literature. That's reselling. Not much more to it. Option 2. License a product. I not only use all the brains that I have, but all that I can borrow. Woodrow Wilson. Some of the world's best-known brands and products have been borrowed from someone or somewhere else. The basis for the energy drink Red Bull came from a tonic in Thailand, and the Smurfs were brought from Belgium. Pokemon came from the land of Honda. The band Kiss made millions in record and concert sales, but the real profit has been in licensing, granting others the right to produce hundreds of products with their name and image in exchange for a percentage of sales. There are two parties involved in a licensing deal, and a member of the new rich could be either. First, there is the inventor of the product. This also refers to owners of copyrights or trademarks, called the licensor, who can sell others the right to manufacture, use, or sell his or her product, usually for 3 to 10% of the wholesale price, usually around 40% off retail, for each unit sold. Invent, let someone else do the rest, and cash checks. Not a bad model. The other side of the equation is the person interested in manufacturing and selling the inventor's product for 90 to 97% of the profit, the licensee. This is, for me and most NR, more interesting. Licensing is, however, deal-making intensive on both sides and a science unto itself. Creative contract negotiation is essential, and most readers will run into problems if it's their first product. For real-world case studies on both sides, ranging from Teddy Ruxpin to Tybo, and full agreements with actual dollar amounts, visit www.4hourworkweek.com. From how to sell inventions without prototypes or patents to how to secure rights to products as a no-name beginner, it's all there. The economics are fascinating and the profits can be astounding. In the meantime, we will focus on the least complicated and most profitable option open to the most people, product creation. Option 3. Create a product. Creation is a better means of self-expression than possession. It is through creating, not possessing, that life is revealed. Vida D. Scudder, Life of the Spirit in the Modern English Poets. Creating a product is not complicated. Create sounds more involved than it actually is. If the idea is a hard product, an invention, it is possible to hire mechanical engineers or industrial designers on www.elance.com to develop a prototype based on your description of its function and appearance, which is then taken to a contract manufacturer. If you find a generic or stock product made by a contract manufacturer that can be repurposed or positioned for a special market, it's even easier. Have them manufacture it, stick a custom label on it for you, and presto, new product. This latter example is often referred to as private labeling. Have you ever seen a chiropractor's office with its own line of vitamin products, or the Kirkland brand at Costco? Private labeling in action. It is true that we'll be testing market response without manufacturing, but if the test is successful, manufacturing is the next step. This means we need to keep in mind setup costs, per unit costs, and order minimums. Innovative gadgets and devices are great, but often require special tooling, which makes the manufacturing startup costs too expensive to meet our criteria. Putting mechanical devices aside and forgetting about welding and engineering, there is one class of product that meets all of our criteria, has a manufacturing lead time of less than a week in small quantities, and often permits not just an 8 to 10 times markup, but a 20 to 50 times markup. No, not heroin or slave labor. Too much bribing and human interaction required. Information. Information products are low cost, fast to manufacture, and time-consuming for competitors to duplicate. Consider that the top-selling non-information infomercial products, whether exercise equipment or supplements, have a useful lifespan of 2 to 4 months before imitators flood the market. I studied economics in Beijing for 6 months and observed firsthand how the latest Nike sneaker or Callaway golf club could be duplicated and on eBay within a week of first appearing on shelves in the United States. This is not an exaggeration, and I am not talking about a look-alike product. I mean an exact duplicate for 1/20th the cost. Information, on the other hand, is too time-consuming for most knockoff artists to bother with when there are easier products to replicate. It's easier to circumvent a patent than to paraphrase an entire course to avoid copyright infringement. Three of the most successful television products of all time, all of which have spent more than 300 weeks on the infomercial top 10 bestseller lists, reflect the competitive and profit margin advantage of information products. No down payment, Carlton Sheets, Attacking Anxiety and Depression, Lucinda Bassett, Personal Power, Tony Robbins. I know from conversations with the principal owners of one of the above products that more than $65 million worth of information moved through their doors in 2002. Their infrastructure consisted of fewer than 25 in-house operators, and the rest of the infrastructure, ranging from media purchasing to shipping, was outsourced. Their annual revenue per employee is over $2.7 million plus. Incredible. On the opposite end of the market size spectrum, I know a man who created a low-budget how-to DVD for less than $200 and sold it to owners of storage facilities who wanted to install security systems. It's hard to get more niche than that. In 2001, selling DVDs that cost $2 to duplicate for $95 a piece through trade magazines, he made several hundred thousand dollars with no employees. But I'm not an expert. If you aren't an expert, don't sweat it. First, expert in the context of selling product means that you know more about the topic than the purchaser. No more. It is not necessary to be the best, just better than a small target number of your prospective customers. Let's suppose that your current dream line to compete in the 1150-mile Iditarod dog sledding race in Alaska requires $5,000 to realize. If there are 15,000 readers and even 50, 3/1000ths of a percent can be convinced of your superior expertise in skill X and spend $100 for a program that teaches it, that is $5,000. Bring on the Huskies. Those 50 customers are what I call the minimal customer base, the minimum number of customers you need to convince of your expertise to fulfill a given dreamline. Second, expert status can be created in less than 4 weeks if you understand basic credibility indicators and what people are conditioned to equate with proof of superior knowledge, as we shall see later. The degree to which you personally need expert status also depends on how you obtain your content. There are three main options. 1. Create the content yourself, often via paraphrasing and combining points from several books on a topic. 2. Repurpose content that is in the public domain and not subject to copyright protection, such as government documents and material that predates modern copyright law. 3. License content or compensate an expert to help create content. Fees can be one time and paid up front or royalty-based, 5 to 10% of net revenue, for example. If you choose option 1 or 2, you need expert status within a limited market. Let's assume you're a real estate broker and have determined that, like yourself, most brokers want a simple but good website to promote themselves and their businesses. If you read and understand the 3 top-selling books on homepage design, you will know more about that topic than 80% of the readership of a magazine for real estate brokers. If you can summarize the content and make recommendations specific to the needs of the real estate market, a 0.5 to 1.5% response from an ad you place in the magazine is not unreasonable to expect. Use the following questions to brainstorm potential how-to or informational products that can be sold to your markets using your expertise or borrowed expertise. Aim for a combination of formats that will lend itself to $50 to $200 pricing, such as a combination of 2 CDs, 30 to 90 minutes each, a 40-page transcription of the CDs, and a 10-page quick start guide. 1. How can you tailor a general skill for your market, what I call niching down, or add to what is being sold successfully in your target magazines? Think narrow and deep rather than broad. 2. What skills are you interested in that you and others in your markets would pay to learn? Become an expert in this skill for yourself and then create a product to teach the same. If you need help or want to speed up the process, consider the next question. 3. What experts could you interview and record to create a sellable audio CD? These people do not need to be the best, but just better than most. Offer them a digital master copy of the interview to do with or sell as they like. This is often enough. And or offer them a small upfront or ongoing royalty payment. Use Skype.com with Hot Recorder, more on these and related tools in Tools and Tricks, to record these conversations directly to your PC and send the MP3 file to an online transcription service. 4. Do you have a failure to success story that could be turned into a how-to product for others? Consider problems you've overcome in the past, both professional and personal. The Expert Builder. How to become a top expert in 4 weeks. It's time to obliterate the cult of the expert. Let the PR world scorn me. First and foremost, there is a difference between being perceived as an expert and being one. In the context of business, the former is what sells product, and the latter, relative to your minimal customer base, is what creates good products and prevents returns. It is possible to know all there is to know about a subject, medicine, for example, but if you don't have an MD at the end of your name, few will listen. The MD is what I term a credibility indicator. The so-called expert with the most credibility indicators is the one who will sell the most product, not the one with the most knowledge of a topic. How then do we go about acquiring credibility indicators in the least time possible? It took a friend of mine just 3 weeks to become a top relationship expert who, as featured in Glamour and other national media, has counseled executives at Fortune 500 companies on how to improve their relationships in 24 hours or less. How did she do it? She followed a few simple steps that created a credibility snowball effect. Here's how you can do the same. 1. Join two or three related trade organizations with official-sounding names. In her case, she chose the Association for Conflict Resolution, www.acrnet.org, and the International Foundation for Gender Education, www.ifge.org. This can be done online in 5 minutes with a credit card. 2. Read the top three selling books on your topic. Search historical New York Times bestseller lists online and summarize each on one page. 3. Give one free 1 to 3 hour seminar at the closest well-known university using posters to advertise. Then do the same at branches of two well-known big companies, AT&T, IBM, etc., located in the same area. Tell the company that you have given seminars at University X or X College and are a member of those groups from Step 1. Emphasize that you are offering it to them for free to get additional speaking experience outside of academics and will not be selling products or services. Record the seminars from two angles for later potential use as a CD/DVD product. 4. Optional. Offer to write one or two articles for trade magazines related to your topics, citing what you have accomplished in Steps 1 and 3 for credibility. If they decline, offer to interview a known expert and write the article. It still gets your name listed as a contributor. 5. Join ProfNet, which is a service that journalists use to find experts to quote for articles. Getting PR is simple if you stop shouting and start listening. Use steps 1, 3, and 4 to demonstrate credibility and online research to respond to journalist queries. Done properly, this will get you featured in media ranging from small local publications to the New York Times and ABC News. Becoming a recognized expert isn't difficult, so I want to remove that barrier now. I am not recommending pretending to be something you're not. I can't. Expert is nebulous media speak and so overused as to be indefinable. In modern PR terms, proof of expertise in most fields is shown with group affiliations, client lists, writing credentials, and media mentions, not IQ points or PhDs. Presenting the truth in the best light, but not fabricating it, is the name of the game. See you on CNN. Q&A. Questions and actions. For this hands-on chapter, the Q&A is simple. In fact, it's more like a cue. The question is, did you read the chapter and follow the directions? If not, do it. Instead of the usual Q&A, the end of this chapter and the following two will feature more extensive resources for taking the action steps described in detail in the text. Comfort Challenge. Find Yoda. 3 days. Call at least one potential superstar mentor per day for 3 days. Email only after attempting a phone call. I recommend calling before 8:30 a.m. or after 6 p.m. to reduce run-ins with secretaries and other gatekeepers. Have a single question in mind, one that you have researched but have been unable to answer yourself. Shoot for A players, CEOs, ultra-successful entrepreneurs, famous authors, etc. And don't aim low to make it less frightening. Use www.contactanycelebrity.com if need be and base your script on the following. Unknown answerer. This is Acme Inc. or the Office of Mentor X. You. Hi, this is Tom Ferris calling for John Grisham, please. Said casually and with confidence, this alone will get you through surprisingly often. I'd like to speak with Mr. Mrs. X, please, is a dead giveaway that you don't know them. If you want to up the chances of getting through but risk looking foolish if they call the bluff, ask for the target mentor by first name only. Answerer. May I ask what this is regarding? You. Sure. I know this might sound a bit odd. I use this type of lead-in whenever making off-the-wall requests. It softens it and makes the person curious enough to listen before spitting out an automatic no. But I'm a first-time author and just read his interview in Time Out New York. This answers the questions they'll have in their head. Who are you and why are you calling now? I like to be a first-time something to play the sympathy card, and I find a recent media feature online to cite as the trigger for calling. I'm a long-time fan. I call people I'm familiar with. If you can't call yourself a long-time fan, tell them that you have followed the mentor's career or business exploits for a certain number of years. And have finally built up the courage to call him. Don't pretend to be strong. Make it clear you're nervous and they'll lower their guard. I often do this even if I'm not nervous. for one specific piece of advice. It wouldn't take more than 2 minutes of his time. Is there any way you can help me get through to him? The wording here is critical. Ask them to help you do something. I really, really appreciate whatever you can do. Answerer. Just a second. Let me see if he's available. 2 minutes later. Here you go. Good luck. Rings to another line. John Grisham. John Grisham here. You. Hi, Mr. Grisham. My name is Tim Ferriss. I know this might sound a bit odd, but I'm a first-time author and a long-time fan. I just read your interview in Time Out New York and finally built up the courage to call. I have wanted to ask you for a specific piece of advice for a long time, and it shouldn't take more than 2 minutes of your time. May I? Just rework the gatekeeper paragraph for this, and don't dilly-dally. Get to the point quickly and ask for permission to pull the trigger. John Grisham. Okay, go ahead. I have to be on a call in a few minutes. You, at the very end of the call. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. If I have the occasional tough question, very occasional, is there any chance I could keep in touch via email? End the conversation by opening the door for future contact. Start with email and let the mentoring relationship develop from there. Tools and tricks. Confirming sufficient market size. Writer's Market. www.writersmarket.com. Here you'll find a listing of thousands of specialty and niche magazines, including circulation and subscription numbers. I prefer the print version. Standard Rate and Data Services. www.srds.com. Check out this resource for annual listings of magazine and company customer mailing lists available for rent. If you're considering creating a how-to video for duck hunting, check out the size of customer lists from hunting gun manufacturers and related magazines first. Use the print version in libraries instead of paying for the somewhat confusing online access. Finding manufacturing or products to resell. Thomas's Register of Manufacturers, www.thomasnet.com, 800-699-9822. This is a searchable database of contract manufacturers for every conceivable product, from underwear and food products to airplane parts. Dropship Source, www.dropshipsource.com, 877-637-6774. This site offers an extensive how-to guide for finding manufacturers willing to drop ship product to your customers, which allows you to avoid pre-purchasing inventory. If this fails, just order the product you'd like to resell from a competitor and Google the from shipping address. This will often lead back to the drop shipper, who can then be contacted directly. www.ingrambook.com, www.techdata.com. See these two sites for electronics, DVDs, and books. www.housewares.org, www.nationalhardwareshow.com, 847-292-4200. For housewares, hardware, and related talent, on-screen demonstrators, also consider attending local or state fairs. www.expoeast.com, expowest.com. See these sites for consumables and vitamin products. Finding public domain information to repurpose. Be sure to speak with an intellectual property attorney before using apparent public domain material. If someone modifies 20% of a public domain work through abridging and footnotes, for example, their new complete work can be copyrighted. Using it without permission would then be a punishable infringement. The details get confusing. Do the beginning research yourself, but get a pro to look over your findings before moving ahead with product development. Project Gutenberg, www.gutenberg.org. Project Gutenberg is a digital library of more than 15,000 pieces of literature considered to be in the public domain. LibriVox, www.librivox.org. LibriVox is a collection of audiobooks from the public domain that are available for free download. Recording phone interviews with experts for CD products. Hot Recorder, www.hotrecorder.com. Hot Recorder records any phone call starting from or received by a PC and can be used in conjunction with Skype, www.skype.com, and other programs. Licensing ideas to others for royalties. InventRight, www.inventright.com, 800-701-7993. Stephen Key is the most consistently successful inventor I've ever met, with millions in royalties from companies like Disney, Nestle, and Coca-Cola. He is not high-tech, but specializes in creating simple products or improving on existing products, and then licensing, renting his ideas to large corporations. He comes up with the idea, files a provisional patent for less than $200, and then lets another company do the work while he collects checks. This site introduces his fail-proof process for doing the same. His techniques for cold calling alone are invaluable. Highly recommended. Guthy Renker Corporation. www.guthyrenker.com. 760-773-9022. GRC is the 800-pound infomercial gorilla. It brings in more than $1.3 billion per year in sales with mega hits like Tony Robbins, Proactive Solution, and Windsor Pilates. Don't expect more than a 2 to 4% royalty if you make the cut, but the numbers are huge enough to make it worth a look. Submit your product online. Trolling patents for unexploited ideas to turn into products. United States Patent and Trademark Office, www.uspto.gov, 800-786-9199. www.autm.net. For licensable technologies developed at universities, see View All Listings under Technology Transfer Offices. www.uiausa.org/resources/inventorgroups.htm. For inventors, groups, and associations, call and ask if members have anything to license. Becoming an expert. Profnet via PR Leads. www.prleads.com/discount page. Receive daily leads from journalists looking for experts to cite an interview for media ranging from local outlets to CNN and the New York Times. Stop swimming upstream and start responding to stories people are already working on. Mention my name to get 2 months for the price of one. ExpertClick, www.expertclick.com. This is another secret of the PR pros. Put up an expert profile for media to see, receive an up-to-date database of top media contacts, and send free press releases to 12,000 journalists, all on one website that gets more than 5 million hits per month. This is how I got on NBC and ended up developing a primetime TV show. It works. Mention my name on the phone or use Tim Ferriss $100 online to get a $100 discount.